Ms. Michael, I'm going to talk today about an approach to the selection of higher-order engrams in phonotactic language recognition. Lunch time is arriving, so I will try to go quickly. I will do a short introduction. I will show you which is the filter selection method or algorithm we present. I will show you the experimental setups, setup and results, and I will finish with a short summary of the work. So the motivation, the main motivation is that in phonotactic language recognition, higher order engrams are expected to have more discriminative information from the language, I mean more language specific information. But the problem is that the number of engrams grows exponentially as n increases. So there are some computational limits, and that's why many systems usually restrict the engram order to 3 or 4. We cannot apply directly dimensionality reductions like PCA or LDA to such a huge space. So historically, there are some background works related to filter selection. I will mention just two of them. The first one by Richardson et al. In ICAPS 2008, when they presented a wrapper filter method that was used to select the most discriminative n-1 engrams based on SVM weights. And those engrams were expanded to get a suboptimal subset of engrams. Some years later, quite a similar work by Tong et al., they used the same wrapper filter method, but used two discriminative criteria. First, the SVM separation margin, which is basically the same as the previous one. And second, they used also a chi-square measure. The fact is that in both cases, there was no improvement or even a degradation when higher than 4 grams were used. We also had a quite similar problem. We addressed a quite similar problem in a previous work where we did phonotactic language recognition using cross decoder concurrence of phone engrams. In that case, the feature space was very big, and the key idea we used there was just to do a frequency-based feature selection. Was to build a sparse vector of expected filter cones using only the most frequent units. But the problem is that in a higher order engram scenario, the filter space is really huge. So even a simple frequency-based selection can be a challenge. So let's do frequency-based filter selection. Let H be the number of phonetic units of an acoustic decoder. So there are 6 h/n possible engrams. If the number of units of an acoustic decoder would be 40 and 7 the order of the engrams, the filter space is really huge. But we must think that most of those filters will not appear in the will not be seen in the training, so we can forget them. Most of the seen filters will have very, very low counts, so we can forget them and just simply select the most frequent filters. The problem is that with such a huge filter space, the actual set of we cannot even do the cumulative counts. We cannot store all the cumulative counts of all the filters seen in the training set. So instead of directly storing all the cumulative counts, we must estimate them. The idea is quite simple. We are going to use the full training set, and we are going to try to build a table with all the cumulative counts of the seen filters. But periodically, we are going to clean that table. So every cumulative K counts, we are going to retain only those entries with higher counts than a given threshold tau. So implicitly, all the entries with lower counts are discarded and their counts are set to zero. Both key and tau heuristic or constants or parameters must be tuned in order to get quite a big table. In our experiments, we usually get at least 10 times bigger tables than the desired size. So if M is the desired size, the final desired size, we try to get 10 times bigger tables. So the proposed algorithm is quite simple. We start with an empty table. T will be the parameter that tells us how many cumulative counts we've got since the last update. And for every training sentence, we accumulate the counts in the table, and we update the T parameter. When the T parameter is higher than the K parameter, we update the table. That is, we remove all the entries with low counts. At the end, we must do again a final update to see that the final size of the table is much bigger than the desired M size. Then we truncate the table and just use the most frequent M fetches. The use baseline architecture is a quite common approach in phonotactic language recognition. We use N phone decoders. We estimate lattices and we use SVM-based language model with Bach of n-grams paradigm and Gaussian backend and linear fusion at the end. The training, development, and test corpora was the typical for the 2007 NIST language recognition evaluation. We used just 10 conversations for development, for fusion and calibration. And those conversations were further split in 30 second segments. The evaluation was carried out in the core condition, the 30 seconds closed set. All the software used was freely available. The phone decoders from Brno, from BAT group, for Czech, Hungarian, and Russian. Lattices were obtained with HTK using the Brno receipt. SVM modeling was done using LibLinear, quite fast linear-only version of LibSVM. And Gaussian backend and fusion was done using the Focal Toolkit from Nico Romer. Before doing the decoding, before using the Brno decoders, we removed the non-speech segments from the training segments. And all the non-phonetic units were mapped to silence. We do use lattices, so we used the BAT decoders only to get posterior estimates of the HMM states. We used phone lattices, and those lattices were modeled by means of super vector machines using LibLinears with the standard Bachhoff n-grams paradigm, and using the standard background probability weighting. The training was doing uses one versus all paradigm. So let's jump from 3 grams to 4 grams. If we try to extract all the 4 grams seen in training, we see that we got only around about 2 million fetches in training. So there are different numbers for each decoder. So there is no need to do any special with 2 million fetches. We can directly count them and select the most frequent of them. If we use the full 2 million fetches, in fact, not all the fetches will appear in each sentence. So the actual average size of the sparse vectors, of the sparse count vectors, was found to be about 70,000. If we used the full 4 grams counts, we get an improvement of 11% in equal error rate, but we should take into account that the average vector size when we used the full 4 grams was quite bigger than the 3 gram baseline system. So that would be a problem if we got a lot of data, for example, for the 2009 competition, where the data was much bigger. So the first thing was just to select the most frequent units from the full 4 gram units. In this table, you can see all the results when we select starting from 2 million units up to 5,000 units. Obviously, as we select less and less units, the average vector size is smaller. The equal error rate grows up normally, but with some oscillation. That's why we prefer CLLR cross-entropy cost for evaluation, because it's somehow more significant than equal array, because small perturbations around the equal error rate point leads to different equal error rate values. So we marked two selection points. First, 100,000, and second was 30,000. The reason is that 100,000 features is more or less the same number of features than with full trigrams. And the 3,000 one was selected because the average vector size is more or less equivalent to the trigrams case. So the computational cost in this case of 30,000 was more or less the same as trigrams. So let's try to jump from 4 grams to higher n grams. We heuristically fixed k and tau values to ensure at least 2 million fetches at the end of the algorithm. Just to note that the key value is equivalent to more than 2 hours of voiced audio. So that means that those features that even didn't appear, or the count is really low in 2 years audio, are removed. Also, as n increases, as we use higher n orders, the number of live engrams decreases. In this table, we can see how many live engrams we can find as we change n order from 3 to 7. And you can see that when we get the most frequent 7 grams or heptagrams, only 12 of them appear. So we select 7 as the highest order for engrams. In this table, you can see the results using the previously mentioned two fetcher cycle selection limits, 100,000 and 30,000, using from 3 gram to heptagram, to 7th order engrams. As you can see, the results are better with 4 grams than 3 grams, but once started from 4 grams with 5, 6, and 7, they don't outperform the 4 gram system. Anyway, the good news was that even the results were not better; they were not worse. I mean, they are somehow stable. And note that there are quite big number of 5-order engrams in the system. Concretely, 18,000. So I will try to finish my presentation. We presented a dynamic feature selection method that has been proposed. A dynamic feature selection method has been proposed, which allows to perform phonotactic SVM-based language recognition with higher order n-grams. Performance improvements with regard to a baseline trigram SVM system have been reported in experiments on the 2007 NIST competition database. When applying the proposed algorithm to select the most frequent units up to 4, 5, 6, and 7 grams. The best performance was obtained when selecting the 100,000 most frequent units up to 5 grams, which yielded an equal error rate improvement of 11% with regard to the baseline 3-gram system. And we are currently working on the evaluation of a smarter selection criteria under this approach. So that's all, and thank you very much.
Is there time for questions? Fred?
I was just wondering, when you created your 7-gram, does that include all of the lower order grams as well?
Yes.
In the same vector? I was wondering I think we noticed this problem that with each of the lower order grams, you have a different dynamic range.
Could you use the microphone?
Oh, sorry.
I think what we noticed was that with each lower order n-gram, you had a different dynamic range. And I was wondering if you had tried to maybe scale them differently or fuse them separately or something like that.
We have tried a lot of kind of fusion with just using 3-gram, 4-gram, 5-gram, and fuse them, or any kind of dynamic boost them. But the best version were always using full. four languages.
Just leave them all in the vector.
Yeah. In fact, they are somehow adjusted with the background probability. So if you use the background probability in normalization.
Okay, yeah.
But we try to use a different system for different languages, and the best one and the simplest one was just a single system. Even if we use the different systems, we had some kind of overtraining with the development.
Oh, okay.
Some parameters for the package.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? One observation I'll make, whether it's this one or the other ones, is interesting looking at this, that all the papers seem to be using phonetic or prosodic systems and no spectral-based systems. So it'd be interesting to see, because in general, I think it's been shown since 2005 or 2007 that the spectral-based systems were outperforming the phonetic-based systems. So why are you looking at those?
Yeah, sure. Sure, but we have somehow centered in phonetics, but maybe I didn't understand your question. Do you mean if we tried to fuse the acoustic system with
I mean, it's more of a general statement. I was just observing that the different ones, for various reasons, people were looking at it, trying to go after it, but I just noticed in all these there was no baselines that were the spectral based systems.
Ah, okay.
So that's all I was just wondering about.
Yeah, sure. We just centered the work in the phonetic part. Sure, if we fused phonetics and acoustic system, it goes a little better. Yeah. Anyway, I think somehow sometimes it's somehow confusing to add the acoustic systems when you are focused in a special algorithm for
right. Well,
better results in phonetic acoustics.
Well, let's thank all the speakers once again.